Hello, and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks Podcast. This is Rod Stuckey. Here with me, Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Doing great. Excited about the holiday season. Got my Tesla in Santa mode today on the way back from the grocery store. Had Ashley tripping out a little bit, so that was a good time.
Now, did you do ho, 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 or did you do ho, 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 not funny? You know about the not funny?
No.
So it does the same thing. It's just if you do ho, 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 it plays run, run, Rudolph. And if you do ho, 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 not funny, it does the funny version of Rudolph got run over by reindeer.
Now, I just said turn on. I just voice prompt, turn on Santa mode.
That'll do it if you're boring. You know, it's better to say ho, 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 don't you think?
Jeez. All right. You've given me something here we're just already all over the board here. But today's podcast, we're going to cover some of the more interesting posts from this week's T3 Facebook group, including, does a Tesla's range reduce in the wintertime? Is the accessory power outlet 12 volt or 16 volt? How much does charging a Tesla add to your power bill and more? But first, for those of you who may be unfamiliar, Tori, tell us a little bit more about the T3 community.
We're the largest Tesla Tips community in the world with we're just about to surpass 300,000 members. So we're super excited, but we provide real world tips and tricks to maximize the ownership of a Tesla. And we do it for current owners as well as prospective owners. We welcome people who are just shopping and just considering owning a Tesla. So if you haven't joined our Facebook group, be sure that you do. The link is on the screen, at the bottom of the screen. It's also in the description of this podcast or the video, depending on where you're watching it. And I do also want to mention that we release our best tips content on our YouTube channel. So be sure that you go there, like the video, subscribe to our channel, and that link is also on the screen and in the description. So look forward to you subscribing to us there.
All right. Well, Tori, before we jump in, since we already got off the subject, it is the holiday season for us here in America. I'm in Florida. Tori is in Georgia. Today, I hit my voice prompt and said, turn on Santa mode, and boom, cars are reindeer and blinkers are Christmas jingles. Tori, tell us a little bit more about Santa mode. And tell me about this ho, 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 not funny, funny thing.
Yeah, so if you say turn on Santa mode, I think it just turns on Santa mode. But if you say ho, 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 it turns on Santa mode and plays run, run, Rudolph. I think people know that song. I don't know the words to it. But and then if you hit the voice prompt and you say ho, 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 not funny, it starts playing Grandma got ran over by reindeer.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait for dinner dates this week. We're going to have a good time. So,
and then if you turn your blinker on, it plays sleigh bells and it changes the car on the screens to Santa's sleigh. And I noticed this year, at least it could have been this way last year, but I've noticed this year when you're in park, you can see the whole sleigh and all the toys in the sleigh. It's really cool.
Yes.
And then when you go up the drive,
it looks so cool.
It is. It's awesome.
I texted my dad. He just got a 26 Model Y, and I knew he was out and about, and I texted him and told him to turn on Santa mode. So I can't wait to hear him tell me about that. He's going to trip out.
I know. You can
he's
do
80
it from the
years
toy
old.
Box.
Like, I. He's 80 years old, and this car is driving him around everywhere. Now it's going to be a sleigh. It's got to be blowing his mind because it blows my mind still. So,
and he's loving it. But yeah. Just on a last note there, if you go to the toy box, if you click on the three dots at the bottom of the screen in the Tesla and go to toy box, you can see Santa mode if you scroll through, and you can just turn it on manually. You don't have to use voice prompts.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, of course. Very good. So let's jump right into some of our T3 community posts. We're going to start with number 5. Has anyone else started to notice a range decrease from the winter mix? Obviously, we're in, as this pod is being posted, it's December. And so temperatures are, we just had a huge storm in the Midwest. of snow and sleet. So, Tori, take us through some of the comments from this post and give us a little bit of your analysis here.
Well, I do think that the original poster is using a play on words for winter mix, because that's a term for gas. And Joseph Clayton here, I'm sorry, who was it? Dave Thomas. Here it is. Dave Thomas says, I took this post as a reference to oil producers making a specific blend for winter months that gives less miles per gallon. And that, I think, is what he's doing. But Dave says,
is this like run 2050 in the winter instead of 1040?
Yeah, something like that. There's more oxygen in the air in the wintertime, and because the air is more dense. And so colder weather brings more dense air. I know this from drag racing. You could go in the fall, in the middle of the day, you would have to change your tune-up as you raced into the night because the air got cooler and more dense. And so it was going to produce more power. And
interesting. Jetting a two-stroke carbureted super mini motocross bike.
That's it. Yep. So he says that the thing is in a gas car, hardly anyone notices that. But you get in an EV, your range drops 5 miles and everyone freaks out. Sometimes too much knowledge causes too much stress. I think he's got a point there, because in an EV, that range anxiety is a real thing. And even when you're used to it, everybody is super conscious about the range, because is my battery conditioning going down? Is it degrading faster? Why I was at 279 miles, now it's at 270. What's going on? And during the winter, your range does decrease, not because of oxygen in the air, not the density, but because of the battery conditioning and warming itself up. It's another reason why you want to keep your car always be charging or always be connected, so that when you're preconditioning the car, turning on and getting the car up to temp, preconditioning it for leaving, it will warm up the battery and it'll use the house power to do it instead of the battery. So if I get in my car and I did no preconditioning and it's cold and it's really cold outside, when I leave, you'll see the little snowflake on the car and you'll see, regenerative braking is limited because the battery's cold. So the car is warming up the battery so that it can perform at an optimal temperature and it can take a charge back from regen braking. Well, how is it doing that? It's using the battery. Therefore, your range goes down as you drive. So you start at 279 and usually get to the place you're going with, 210 miles left, but now you got there and there's 195. Well, it's because the battery was conditioning and warming itself up. Also, heaters inherently use more energy than air conditioning pump. So the AC compressor does not use as much power as a heater, especially in older Teslas where you have resistive type heaters. They really use a lot of power. And in the summer months, when it's warm, you're not using any seat heaters, you're not using your steering wheel heaters. So you're just typically using more power. But on a side note, it would be better to wear warmer clothes and to use seat heaters than it would be to use the heater in the car. So it uses less energy overall if you put the car temperature to say 66 degrees and use seat heater and wear a jacket than it does if you put the heat to 72 in the car. That would use more energy than just using the heated seats in a lower temperature. So there is a point here. There is less mileage, less range in the winter months because of those things.
And Tori, just to clarify on Dave's post, and I think it's worth noting, when we see, he says, everyone freaks out about 5 miles less range, because ultimately we're all thinking about degradation and our battery wear and tear. This 5 mile reduction in range is not degradation. This is
you're using specific, more power.
Yeah, this is just specific to using more power. And so you're not in any type of situation where, oh no, like he's saying, everybody freaks out thinking I got a limb in my battery's range is reducing when it's just using more power.
That is correct.
Yep. So, okay, let's move on to the next post. Why do Tesla round cigarette lighter outlets, in parentheses, deliver 15.5 volts, which will likely damage many 12-volt devices, such as tire inflators?
So for those who don't know what he means by the cigarette lighter, We do.
Yes, we do.
But you probably need to be at least in like your 30s or 40s to know what that is.
Yeah.
This is the round power port that you can plug an accessory into. Typically, people use this to plug an inverter into so that you can use you can charge your laptop with it. You know, it's a normal plug receptacle for, you know, 110 volts here in America. But that's what this port is. So here's the good news. Most 12-volt devices are not limited to 12 volts. And even in an ICE vehicle, when you start the car and the alternator's spinning, they're usually at 13.5 to 14 volts. So they're not staying at 12 volts. The alternator is actually running everything in the car, not the battery. And so the battery starts the car, and then the alternator recharges the battery from starting the car and then runs everything in the car while you drive. And so it's already made for a higher voltage. All of those accessories are, but you do want to be sure, because Tesla, starting in, I believe it was 2021, it was. So the Model S in June of 2021 had the very first 16-volt battery instead of a 12-volt battery. So if you have a 2020 or older Tesla, your accessory outlet is 12 volts. If you have a June 2021 Model S or newer, then it's 16-volt lithium-ion low-voltage battery. And Model 3, Model X, Model Y happened in 2022. So if you've got a 2022 or newer vehicle, you have the 16-volt battery. Where this really comes into play, Rod, is for inverters, those things that plug your charge your laptop. And those can be finicky. They can, I have one specifically that works in every Tesla, but when I got into a Tesla and used it with one that had the 16-volt lithium-ion battery, the blue light that normally turns on to say, hey, we've got power, we're good to go, it's red immediately. I plug it in and it goes blue-red just immediately, and it does not work. And that is because it cannot accept 16 volts. So just look up before you buy, know before you buy that it will accept a 16-volt current.
This is a related question from Joel Gentleman. He says, that outlet have a fuse? Does a Tesla have any classic 12-volt type fuses? It appears to be a software-controlled circuit breaker, but I do not know. And then Andre posted a picture, said, yes, might depend on the model, but usually a 15-amp fuse of the small kind, and there's a picture of the fuse box. So that was kind of interesting, because I guess theoretically you should blow a fuse before you did any type of damage, I'm assuming.
Right. So yeah, it's not about how much power you're taking from the car. It's being sure. The original post is about, will the device you're plugging in fry if it gets 16 volts instead of 12 that it's expecting? But to your point, Rod, this is a good point, that if you are plugging something into that that's drawing more amperage than what it's intended, some models do have a fuse panel, but a lot of these are just dynamically managed. And so it will blow a fuse, it'll stop working, but it's software managed. And so there is no physical fuse in a lot of the Teslas. I don't know which models have physical fuses or run it with software, but if that happens and it stops working and you don't have a physical fuse, it's typically 5 minutes or so, or you can restart the car and it'll work. But I'm glad you mentioned that, because that can be frustrating when somebody blows a fuse and there is no fuse. What do I do? Well, I'll just give it 5 minutes and it'll automatically reset.
Okay. Very good. All right. Well, let's move on to another common question we get. Very vague, but always fun to dive into a little bit, because things are always changing. How much does your Tesla cost you on your electric bill per month?
Yeah, this is a really big, it depends.
Loaded question.
Yes. Yeah. If you're out west, you're in California. I was looking at this the other day, and it's not uncommon. Like PG&E is Pacific Gas and Electricity. They're like 35, 40, that can be upwards of 40 cents, 45 cents per kilowatt hour, which is hugely different than what I pay here. For instance, I am with EMC, Electric Membership Corporation, and I pay 11 cents per kilowatt hour between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. And I pay 13 cents per kilowatt hour from 7 a.m. until, or from 6 a.m. until 11 p.m. So that it's negligible. There is a difference, that 2 cents. People would say, oh man, that's 20%. But it just feels like 2 cents, you know, it doesn't feel like a lot, but it really depends upon your area and your power company. Now, Rick Dystra has a great comment here, and he breaks down specifically what his Tesla has used and compares it to what his previous vehicle, a 2024 Honda CR-V, was using and what it cost in gas. So Rick says that his Tesla used 447 kilowatt hours. And so I don't know exactly how many miles he's driving. Actually, he says it, 1,908 miles. And so he used 447 kilowatt hours for 1,908 miles at 14 cents per kilowatt hour. That cost him $62.58. His Tesla replaced that 2024 Honda CR-V where he averaged 35 miles per gallon. By the way, that's incredible. My daughter had a CR-V and did not get 35 miles per gallon. So that's I feel like that's pretty good. But average fuel cost where he is, which is in Florida, is $2.88 per gallon. So if you do that same 1,908 miles divided by 35 gallons, it's 54.5 gallons times $2.88. It was $157 in gas compared to his $62.58 in charging the car. So that's a really good breakdown to help understand how much it cost, but you're going to see answers all over the board. But I think that in most cases, per kilowatt hour charge is less than 20 cents for most of America geographically. In the bigger cities and out west, you're going to pay more than that. Yeah, but gas is also more out there.
Yeah. Speaking of out west, here's a really specific comment from Alexander Bernard. In October, our Model Y Long Ridge charged at $242. I charged at home between 12 a.m. and 3 p.m. at 33 cents per kilowatt hour. We charged daily overnight, maybe 6 to 7 days a week, located in the San Francisco Bay Area. So, and then there's a lot of comments from his comment basically saying, you know, California and Hawaii are probably going to be your highest rates in the country.
Yeah. Georgia Power is petitioning its board for, you know, it's all regulated. So it's petitioning its board to invest hundreds of millions of dollars in infrastructure for incoming data centers. So sometimes the electricity is not even, you know, location based. It's just based on what could happen in the future. If there's going to be data centers coming out there, which those typically come into very rural areas. So I think we will see an impact in not just the cities, not just out west. I think we could see power cost increase at least some because of the data centers and other things that are going to happen in the future. But, you know, I have EMC, I mentioned, I had a house where we lived about 5 miles from here, Georgia Power. It was more expensive per kilowatt hour, 5 miles from here through Georgia Power versus EMC, which is less expensive. So there's different things that impact that rate.
All right, we're going to move on to our next post here. Kind of a basic one, but I've had something similar to this happen. So anyone know how to get my car to stop auto-navigating to my job? I give up. So take us through Ruth's post here, Tori.
Well, there is a setting in the navigation menu that is called automatic navigation. And what that does is it automatically routes to your home, to your work, or your next calendar event. So if you're somebody who for work is going to a lot of offsite appointments, you can link in your calendar to your Tesla. And when you get in at 12:30, it will automatically put the address in for your 1 o'clock appointment. Without you having to tap or touch anything, it will just automatically set that as your destination. So this original poster has automatic navigation turned on, but there's two parts to this question. So there's auto nav, which will automatically route you to work or home. And by the way, same thing, if you're at work and you leave at 5 o'clock, it learns your system, it learns your schedule. And so if you have automatic navigation on, whenever you leave work and get in your car at 5 p.m., it will just have your destination set to home automatically. You don't have to press anything. So the original poster needs to turn that off. But there's a second part to this question, because he says, from the job I quit. So your work address is saved in the system, and Ruth needs to change her work address or remove it. And the way that you do that is when you tap at the top left of the screen, when you tap the address for navigation, the where you enter it, it will open up the ability for you to type in an address. And below it, there's a little icon for home and a little icon for work. If you want to change either of those addresses, you press it, tap it with your finger, and hold for about 3 seconds. And then it'll open up a screen that says, change your work address. So that's the two-part answer to this question is, if you go tap the destination address and then hold your finger on work, it'll let you change it there. Then go into press the vehicle, go into navigation, and turn off automatic destination.
Yeah, and I have my auto navigation turned on, and I have my home put in, and I didn't have my work put in, but I was going somewhere. I work from home usually, and I was going somewhere regularly in the morning, and it started assuming that was my work. So, you know, it will try to kind of learn your normal routines as well. And I moved recently, and I could not figure out how to change my home address. And I looked everywhere, and this one of those simple things to where you press and hold it. And I just could not, for the life of me, figure it out. And it's so simple, but it's press and hold. So, but hey, Tori, one other quick thing that is, this is cool, something that I did not know that Jason J-Dub Wood commented. He says, slightly off topic, but another cool navigation feature in the Tesla app, so this is on your phone, go to location and then type an address in the navigation field, then click send to car, and when you get in the car, it will navigate to that address. That's very cool. I did not know that. Did you know that?
I did know that. I've used it because it is easier. You know, we're used to typing on our phone. And so it's easier just to type something in on your phone than it is to get in the car and type on the address. But I have still, even though I know that, that is still more complicated than hitting the voice command and saying, take me to 123 Jack Street. And I'm impressed, you know, the evolution of voice commands has, you know, when they first came out, they seemed amazing, but then you would say, you know, call Christy, and it would say, you know, calling Sherry.
Right.
Go to 123 Jack Street. Routing to Canada. It's like, no, what in the world's going on? So people stop using it. The Tesla voice commands, the system works so good. I'm so impressed with the ability. You don't have to even enter a city and a state. And if it's confused about even just on a street address, if you say go to 123 Jump Street, then it'll pull up and show you a couple to choose from where you can just tap. But usually it just gets it right the first time. I'm always impressed with that.
Yeah, it does. It really does work. It does work good, but you know, sometimes, you know, maybe you're, I don't know, sitting, you know, in your house and you happen to have the address handy and you're going somewhere you never go. I got a doctor's appointment, whatever in Bradenton. And I can see there being an application for both. So that's cool. So last post we're going to jump into here, Tori, from Ben Liu. He's got a screen grab from Sawyer Merritt that says, breaking, starting tonight, Tesla is launching a free 30-day trial of FSD-supervised V14 in North America for an estimated 1.5 million Tesla owners with HW4 who have not purchased.
Yeah, this is very exciting. So what's happened here is the Tesla AI team has developed this awesome new version of full self-drive. Version 14.2 is what is out as we're filming this. And they're so proud of it that they want people to use it. And on a side note, the more people who use it, the more it's learning, because it changed everything. Even the logic behind how it bases, how it drives, it's all different. It's all new. And I gotta say, it's incredible. You can be parked in your garage and you can set an address and tap a button to start FSD. It will back you out of your garage. It will drive down your driveway. It will take you to the place you want to go and park. And you can now say, whether it's a parking lot or a parking garage, they've put a lot of work into this, being able to park into parking garages and what to do with the, what are the barriers that automatically come down. So that would freak out previous versions of FSD. So now there's auto barriers, there's logic and a lot of coding on that. And then even pulling at home, no Tesla has ever pulled into my driveway. It'll take me up to my house, but it'll never pull into my driveway. 14.2 pulls right into my driveway and pulls all the way up and goes and will pull into the tight space in my garage. I have no white tape. I have no P tape for parking that people have tried to trick the system in the past. It now will just pull you into the garage in the space that it will fit automatically. So it is night and day. I drove it 2 hours to see my daughter and my grandson on Saturday of last week. And 99% of the drive it drove. And even my wife, who she's not a fan of it very much. And even at the end of it, I said, you know, I didn't drive except for like two different times. That was the whole time that was full self-drive. You got to admit, that's pretty impressive. And she was like, yeah, it's come a long way. So they're giving this as a free trial. I do want to make one more comment here, Rod. The majority of Teslas out there have hardware 3. And this is not applicable to hardware 3. So 2023, mid-year, all Teslas started coming with hardware 4. So this is limited to those that have hardware 4 and the computer, the cameras, better processor, all of that. And so for those of us who still have an older Tesla, I even say older, but even 2023, I was talking with Sam Dominic, our moderator, one of our admins, and his son has a 2023 Model Y, and he has a 2023 Model Y. His Model Y has hardware 4. His son's Model Y has hardware 3 because it was produced in like March or April. So for those of us who have hardware 3, this is going to be, I think, a really big reason to upgrade our cars to get a newer Tesla in the future. But, you know, I do have to say that version 12, which is what I had in my 2020 Model X Performance, I was still impressed by it. It won't pull into parking lots and auto park very, you know, without doing some extra steps. It won't pull into my driveway. It's still really, really good. But version 14.2 is so much better, like all around better. I'm sure you think the same on that, Rod.
Yeah, and I'm just reading through some of the comments and you know, I mean, there's this post, you know, with almost 300,000 members, you're going to get a lot of different varying opinions. There's 65 comments in here, and I see, you know, there's a couple of people in here speaking negatively about the upgrade or update, and I got a 25 Model X, and it is absolutely remarkable. This update, the fact that it goes by parking places in a parking lot and it highlights them, and I can select which parking spot that I want. I've had it parallel park in a crowded little restaurant community over here. The pulling in the driveway now. You know, I mean, this thing, I've noticed manhole covers and roadkill. It's totally behaving better. This thing is just, it's remarkable. And like I mentioned at the start of the show, my dad's Model Y, I'm riding with him a lot. And just, I mean, the thing works amazing. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. But you can, it is for people that are speaking negatively of it, it really just makes me wonder what their expectations are, because it is that good. To me, it's most remarkable, you know, we always talk about features and benefits, right? You know, the feature is what it is, and then the benefit is what does it do for you? And the benefit of what this does for you, of allowing you to just sit there and chill and sip on your coffee and talk on your Bluetooth, like on a business call or whatever, is just remarkable. My wife's not a big fan either, for the same reason your wife isn't, I know. But I always say never gets old. It never gets old.
It's incredible. The biggest complaint that people have about the 14.2 FSD is previous versions of full self-drive, you could use the scroll wheel on the steering wheel to set what you wanted your max speed limit to be. So if you're in a 45, you could scroll it up and set it to 53 or to 50 or to 48. And you can no longer do that, but there are four modes. There's chill, there is standard, there's...
I think now you have sloth and you have...
that's what it is.
What sloth. What is the... But then there's the...
Mad Max.
Mad Max. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Not ludicrous, but Mad Max. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's still... There's standard, which just basically does the speed limit a little bit more. You know, it's just kind of normal. There's sloth mode, which does the speed limit or even below. And then there is... what's the third mode up? It's like sport it's faster. What is it? Hurry. Yeah. Hurry mode. Gosh, there's hurry mode. And that's the one I tend to stay in. But hurry mode will do typically 8 to 10 miles an hour faster. And then on Mad Max, it will pass more cars. It's like, it'll stay in the left lane more on the interstate. It's going to drive, you know, if it's 70, it don't mind driving 85 miles an hour. If other traffic is doing that, it's going to go a lot faster. You are still responsible for how fast the car goes. So if you don't want to speed, put it on standard mode. So what I didn't like this either at first. I was like, man, I really do want to set that max. But now that I've used it and put a lot of miles on it, it works better. And I have a full understanding of, like, if I want to go fast, I don't have to scroll through and go, do I want to go 68 or do I want to go 72? It's easier just to put it up on hurry or to go down to standard or to go to Mad Max.
The autopilot settings now, there's not just that offset. You can scroll down and tell it the max speed you want it to go.
Well, and that's been a thing. You can still go down and set a max of either relative or exact. And you can say a percentage, or you can say, I don't want to do more than 15 miles over the speed limit ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Mad Max would still work within the confines of that.
Right.
So people who are freaking out about this, I can't set the exact speed number. I don't get it. If you use this enough, it's actually, I hated it at first. I like it way better now.
Yeah. It's like a lot of things I tell people with Teslas, there's a learning curve, and sometimes you get frustrated with the learning curve, but then once you get comfortable with it, it just seems so much more beneficial. I had this past over Thanksgiving weekend, I rented a Ford Lightning. I actually had a Ford Lightning on order for like 2 years and it never came in. And I probably 2 years ago would have been thrilled with that Ford Lightning experience. But when I was driving it, there were just so many things about it that just felt bad. You know, you have to start, stop it. It's, you know, you got the key fob. You got to start, stop it with the start, stop button. When you move the transmission selector, it feels like a toy car because it's not really
connected to
transmission.
Yeah.
It's like it's just there for experience. I don't know. It just, so I can see where, like, going from an ICE vehicle to the Ford Lightning, you're like, well, yeah, there's nothing new to learn. But then at the same time, it was like, why am I carrying around this fob? And I would get out of the car and I would forget to turn it off with the start stop button, you know? And every time I grabbed that shifter, it just felt like I was going back in time. And I don't know, just the interesting observation about how sometimes with Tesla, the learning curve when things change is a bit clumsy, but then you find so much value in it once you get comfortable with it. So,
yep. It's, I love it. It's, for those who, if you'll try it and stick with it, look, the camera is still, it did, people call it phantom breaking. The only complaint that I've had from it doing anything is that it slowed down for, in Georgia, we have a lot of trees, pine trees, oak trees. And so when the sun hits the right angle and the, in the winter, it gets a little worse because the coverage, the leaves fall off. So the road is no longer shady. There's sunshine and shade like lines, and it slows down for that sometimes. That's the only thing that it's done. And even that is not horrible. Like it's like it understands that it's just the shadows after a second and goes, and that's happened maybe twice. So other
never
than that,
happened to me with the palm trees, Tori.
Yep. Well, that Florida right. weather.
Well, all fun stuff as usual. And so we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. Tori, any closing remarks before we come to an end here?
Yep. Go to our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/@TeslaTipsAndTricks spelled out, and subscribe. We'd appreciate it.
Sounds good. For Tori Hornsby, this is Rod Stuckey. Thanks for listening or watching, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.